you know, the guy upstairs left us years ago. So there ain't no fate except the one you make. And there ain't no hell except the shit you take every day. So don't tell me life doesn't hurt, and that you don't need the people, cause you've got your chance. You gotta take your head out of the sky, because there ain't nothing there but the satellites.
And we are the Nonprofits. Don't shoot. I'm Dennis Loubet, and along with Jeff D. and Naomi Marmel, we're going to very slowly come to you live from an undisclosed location in Austin, Texas, on the 3rd of December, 2014. I should take the 5th, but I will say this show is sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin, a nonprofit educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state. If you want to learn more about the ACA, you can call their voicemail at 512-220-6561 or visit their website at www.atheist-community.org. Unless we're detained, the nonprofits broadcast live every first and third Wednesday of each month from 7 to 8:30 Central Time. You can join the nonprofits chat room by following the directions at www.nonprofitsradio.com. So sit in the back of the car and enjoy the show.
Too soon for that, maybe.
Hi, everyone. I tried to keep it tasteful.
Dennis, Naomi, thank you for sitting in.
Yay. You're very welcome.
I got a message from Russell saying he's stranded at the Houston airport.
Oh, God.
We weren't expecting him regardless, but apparently at this very moment he is, in fact, stranded at the Houston airport.
He can go hang out with the big statue.
Not sure what that
Bush.
Means.
That's right.
They have a giant statue of George Bush there. Which George Bush?
George Bush Intercontinental. The first one.
Oh.
Shudder.
Okay. Well, here we are. It's December now.
Yeah. And the war on Christmas has begun.
We had Black Friday and Mauve Saturday.
Plaid Sunday.
Plaid Sunday. Plaid Sunday. Sure. Chrome Monday. So what is this? I don't know. I didn't have that joke fully worked out.
No. Magnesium
Thank
Wednesday.
You. Thank you for your support.
Herringbone.
Yes, we could go on.
Yes.
Shall we?
But I think we're done.
We could fill half the show with that. Hi, everyone. It's the Nonprofits, as Dennis already told you.
Yes.
Naomi, did you bring some news in today?
I brought plenty of news.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. How was your week? How have your 2 months or so been since the last time you were on? Or is it longer than that even?
I think it was September.
Yeah.
Mid-September, so it's been a little while.
3 months.
Cool.
My life is the same. Always.
Oh, okay.
Always.
So it's as if you went into cold sleep way back September, and they've just now thawed you out.
At some point, I will finish the project that I'm working on at work, and then it will be as though time had passed. I can say now
that's
things are
how
different.
You punctuate your life.
Yes.
It's a work project.
Yes.
I know how that is.
Yeah. Right. It's been a year. So.
Yeah, I used to work at Origin Systems, and the games we worked on would take, a year, 2 years, 3 years.
It was supposed to be about 5 months.
Like, yeah, the sense of progress is really dulled after a while.
Yeah.
You can't tell.
Your week, Dennis?
Doing fine. Watching numbers slowly creep upwards.
Dennis has a Patreon.
Yeah, I have a Patreon project.
It's Patreon what?
www.patreon.com/DennisLoubet.
So anybody out there who wants to support Dennis in his creation of artwork.
Right.
For a very, very tiny amount of money that you can put in to support him.
Little as a dollar.
And then they get what at the low at $1 what do they get?
They get pictures. They get JPEG and
fantasy and science fiction
picture.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So whatever it is you happen to be working on, they get a copy.
Yeah.
Cool. I myself have just getting over the huge amount of effort necessary to get my latest role-playing game out, Baythorm, the Plane of Tekamel. It's all shipped now, I think. Like, I've had a few orders that got slightly screwed up or overlooked, and I've been catching up on those things. And now it's actually up for sale on Lulu.com. If anybody wants to get a hardbound or softbound copy of my game, look for it's Unigames is my company, and you can find all my stuff there.
Baithorm would be good too.
It's a science fantasy role playing game. So like fantasy with a science fiction premise. It's
right.
Cool. World setting created by a guy who was a professor of South Asian studies and a linguist. So it's like Lord of the Rings kind of depth of culture and history and detail and stuff, but more esoteric.
Right.
In a cool way.
After a successful Kickstarter, you've been in fulfillment hell.
Yeah. It wasn't actually all that bad. It was just a lot. I mean, wow. When I say esoteric, I mean like it's more like Imperial Rome slash Babylonian slash Aztec fantasy instead of medieval fantasy. So it's not so much knights in shining armor. It's more like vast armies of slaves toiling under the hot sun and human sacrifice and all that kind of fun stuff.
Right.
They're savages.
Yep.
Okay. So that's what we're up to. I guess we'll go into news now.
Okay.
If you're ready.
We'll
if you're prepared.
We'll spring off the human sacrifice.
And we'll alternate, which is what they usually do.
What's new?
So
it's pretend human sacrifice, because it's a game. You don't. If, oh boy.
But what if you LARP it?
People who... You'd fake it. You know, the sacrificial victims get to go straight to the paradises of their various deities. Okay. So
you stab them with their rubber daggers and pull out their rubber hearts.
So, Satanists.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's what I'm
Not
leading
exactly.
with. No, but that's what I'm leading with. That's my very
cool.
clumsy.
That's a good.
That's my segue.
Good segue.
So, I know we've run a lot of these stories, but this one has a twist that I like. So, we've got the rotunda in the Florida Capitol building. Where they permit religious displays during the holiday season. 2013, the Satanists were like, hey, we want one too. And this was the Satanic Temple. I know we've talked about all the different branches. So this is Satanic Temple. They were forbidden from displaying it because it was grossly offensive.
It's not the Reformed Satanic Temple then.
So this year they came back with some legal backing. They had Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. And Florida was like, oh, well, okay, I guess that's not so grossly offensive after all. So
it was the same thing they had last time?
That's the impression that I get.
Ooh.
So it's going to be up, and honestly, they have a picture in here. It looks like a diorama that a 9-year-old put together. It's an angel falling into a pit of flames.
Okay.
And it's not very sophisticated, but I can't really blame them for not wanting to put a whole lot of effort into this, since it's really just a statement piece.
Right.
What I find really fascinating is that in 2013, when they were denied, one of the groups that did get to display was the Pastafarians.
Wow.
So they allowed the Pastafarians, but not the Satanists.
Oh, man.
Which makes me think that really these days, the Satanists are taking the social role that the Pastafarians thought that they would take.
It's possible.
You know, because I think there's so much emotional weight associated with Satanism, so that's where you really get to push the envelope, where people are much more likely to say no because that's real and scary and bad. It means you're evil. Where flying spaghetti monster is okay, you're just pranking.
You know, over the years, we've reported on a lot of these, you know, survey results of who's the most hated people in America, and you know, complaining about atheists scoring so low. I don't remember ever seeing Satanists on one of those. I bet they'd score lower than atheists.
I don't know.
I bet they would.
It's possible. But there's so many people who believe in believing.
Yeah, I know.
There's
that general attitude that, you know, as long as you have some religion, at least you have something. I think when it's Satanism, they're gonna start being inconsistent.
But it might surprise us. We'd have to actually get the numbers.
But okay.
Yeah, I really liked the contrast there between the intentionally provocative fake religion and then this other thing that in some ways almost feels like it has more legitimacy but is much better at So poking the hypocrisy.
That did not look like a permanent display. Was that a Christmas display?
Yeah, this is just for the holiday
okay,
season.
So that's not the big stone goat-headed Satan with the two happy children.
No,
statue.
No, this is a flimsy little diorama with fluffy cotton clouds at the top.
Yes,
and some little angel
it's
doll.
It's silly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, a few years back, there was some weird UFO cult that got in the news trying to get their monument up, and I've forgotten all the details now. But they're not the first. Okay. Let me do a listener mail thing here.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, I'll have a news story. After
you have
excellent.
A news story? Oh,
I
okay.
So.
Well, who is this? Liam in Northern Britain, who added a little note saying people in the north of Britain sound nothing like the British accent that I do. Okay, so fine. I'm not even going to try.
There's like 20 different accents, so.
Yeah. I've recently started a degree in physics here in the UK. That has introduced me to a lot of people from all different backgrounds, including a fair share of creationists and other anti-science nutters. None doing physics, he says, but worryingly, one doing medicine. The most peculiar was a person who professed to be really interested in science but clearly knew nothing about it. When this person found out I was studying physics, he asked me what the evidence is for photons. I tried to explain the evidence.
Wow.
I tried to explain the evidence I'm most familiar with, the photoelectric effect, which mm-hmm. Einstein got a Nobel Prize for. But he told me he didn't understand what I had just said and wouldn't accept the evidence based on the authority of scientists, so he'd continue to not believe in photons. This made me think about creationists who repeatedly say stupid shit like, if we evolved from monkeys, why are there still monkeys and other equally dumb stuff? If yeah. they are, and there's the gist of the letter, if they are too ignorant or stupid to understand evolution, are they justified in not believing in it? That's the question.
Hmm.
Because on the one hand, you don't want to encourage argument from authority. That's basically
yeah.
what they're using already.
Right.
The Bible told me. But if you can evaluate the credibility of the person telling you.
Uh-huh.
So, like, Einstein, Nobel Prize, I am inclined to say, well, I sure don't understand this very well, but I have a certain amount of confidence that he probably knew a bit about what he was talking about.
I think if you name a specific guy and say that you're going to go along with it on the basis of your respect for that guy, that is argument from authority.
Yeah.
I think what people need to do, what I do as a non-scientist, right, is I just try to understand what science is. And then when stuff is brought to me and I can see that it looks like actual science, right, and I understand what science is and how it works, mm-hmm. then I'm inclined to believe it, no matter who it is that's
right.
telling me this.
Another way to look at it would be, well, if the science is just wrong or made up, mm-hmm. the technology based on that science would not work.
In fact, Liam goes on to say something similar.
Ah, okay. Good.
But the gist of his question, maybe this isn't even what he meant, but no matter what standards we say are the right standards to use, there's going to be a person sufficiently stupid to not be able
or
to grasp
obstinate.
To grasp the standards or obstinate. Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. good point. Or to not be able to grasp those standards or not be able to apply them correctly. And his question then is whatever conclusion that really stupid person reaches justified within the limits of that person's abilities? I don't know. It's a very interesting question because I wouldn't want to say that people who are extra smart, they are
right.
even more justified. But I also don't want to say that that any conclusions reached in ways that are clearly broken and wrong by people who just happen to be ignorant
mm-hmm.
and lacking in, you know, basic thinking skills, that those are justified. So I don't know. It's a tricky question.
It is. It, you know, epistemology, right? How do you know what you know?
I think that might be one of those things that's not going to be resolved by saying that there is any one way of thinking about it that is the right way, or any one person that has thought about it the right way, like abortion, right? The point at which we our culture decides to legally accept that abortion can take place, right? The number of months of pregnancy after which it's too late. That's not a hard and fast thing. You can point to reasons for placing that deadline here or there, right?
Right.
But the decision, the ultimate decision, doesn't emerge from any one person in any one way of thinking. It is a consensus. And maybe that's what how we should be thinking about science.
Hmm. I'll have to think about that.
I'm going back and looking at the specific wording that you've got there in the email and talking about being justified in
this.
Yeah, if they can't understand it, are they justified in not believing in it?
Well, we're talking. Go ahead.
I'm not sure that's really a question that works in that sense. What would it mean to believe in something that you don't understand? You have to understand at least
how do we ever know? God, I'm getting really navel gazing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this does not require a mathematical certainty.
Right.
But all it requires is justification, and that doesn't not require 100% certainty.
But if you fundamentally cannot understand what evolution is or how it works, it's not a question of being justified in not believing in it. You can't. You don't know if you don't know what it is that you would be believing in. How could you?
Well, that I don't know.
Well, there's a difference between it's not just are they justified in rejecting evolution. It's are they justified in then believing some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that would get into questions of, well, what's the support for that? But we're back to this hypothetical, amazingly incompetent thinker.
Right.
Who, you know, are they justified in believing the story of Noah's Ark if they're simply incapable of grasping that it's nonsense? I don't know. I don't think that kind of justification is a thing that you'd – That's a position I'm going to settle on, and maybe you guys don't agree. We can wrangle over it a bit, but I'm going to settle on the position for now that justification is not achieved on an individual basis, but on a overall basis. Is there justification in the world for believing this thing? And then you can either sign up for it or not. But if you don't, you're mistaken.
Right. Of course, there's justification for believing in everything. So it's
it's a question of degree, and you know, if there's competing things, you compare how justified belief in either of those things are, and if there's a significant gap, then it's clear which way you should jump. And if you don't, I don't care if it's because you're stupid. I don't think that makes you justified. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I'm there's a lot that's sort of circling around right now. The question of justification. In terms of is somebody else justified in believing, that's really up to the person making the individual determination.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I may think it's justified. You may have different standards for what – but there's a difference between a justification and a reason. You know, there are lots of reasons for people. So I can say it is totally understandable that they would believe these things. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me that they would believe these things. Whether I consider that okay – is going to be based on the values that I'm bringing to the table.
That's a very good point. I guess when I read this, I saw the word justified, and I thought, you know, is it? I'm thinking of justified in the sense of like honorable. Is that a respectable position where, having arrived at that, you just have to, you know, nod and say, well, that person, having reached that conclusion, they have done their work and they've gotten there, right?
Right.
or do you point and laugh? You know, that's what I'm thinking of. But you're talking about, you know, I think more technical description of justification, which is entirely valid. But I don't know.
I also think in a lot of these cases, failure to understand or comprehend is the flip side of failure to educate well. I think there are probably relatively few people who just can't grasp even the basics of something like evolution. Right. It's how it's being explained or how it's being framed. But before you ever write somebody off as being incapable of understanding it, you better look good and hard at how it's been explained
to
them.
Well, I hear so often theists saying, I can't understand how you don't believe in a God. Yeah. And all you have to do is ask, do you believe in Thor? No. Then you know exactly what it's like not to freaking believe in a God. You know, they don't spend 1 second thinking about anything, which really pisses me off.
I'm going to jump in here and say I agree with what Naomi just said. If I try to err on the side of assuming that people are fully capable of understanding stuff, right?
Yeah.
Which may be unfair. If I'm going to be unfair, I'd rather be unfair on the side of giving people too much credit than on the side of not giving them enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect that this guy's friend did not want to understand photons.
And that may well be the thing, but what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
Then it's not a question of stupidity. Then it's
just laziness.
Sheer.
Yeah.
Or ideology.
Right.
Excuse me.
And a lot of people, I think, really enjoy the feeling of, you know, I see the truth, not like the rest of you sheeple or whatever. So the fact
that
something is widely accepted that just makes them feel better about going against it.
Right. But it sounds like his friend did a big, you know, TLDR, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Liam goes on, I'm inclined to say no, they're not justified, because science uses theories like the photoelectric effect and evolution to make predictions about the world and create technology that advances humanity, e.g. television, vaccines, etc. The fact that the technology based on those theories exists and works should be enough for someone to accept the theory that is accepted by all scientists in the relevant field. Except, Liam, I think you've just forgotten that your premise was this is a person who's just too stupid to understand that. Understanding that the existence of like working computers means we really do have some grasp of what's really going on when it comes to electrons.
Yeah.
Right? If we haven't really quantified exactly how incompetent a thinker this person is, and therefore all bets are off. I imagine there's going to be people out there who just don't see the connection or refuse to see the connection or will claim that they can't when it's not that they can't, they simply won't.
But then they'll go on and claim, you know, my ignorance is as good as your knowledge. And it's
I've seen that too.
Oh, God.
Well, it's tricky.
It is.
Do we have a general consensus on this? The incompetent thinker rejecting findings of science, justified or not justified?
What is that supposed to determine? Like if we say justified or not
justified,
what's the definition of justified?
What is the so what of the question? Like, where will that decision take Liam or whoever else? Once you decide whether they're justified or they're not justified, what behavior are you attempting to base on this decision?
He hasn't listed any behaviors. Yeah. I think he just wants – he says, I'm curious to what your thoughts are on this because I'm still unsure. He just wants to have an understanding. He's not proposing any reaction. Though I think the word justification – does imply courses of action, right? A person who is not justified in a belief, right, you don't treat them like they are.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to sit and feel superior about somebody, then go ahead and say they're not justified. You already have spoken about their level of intelligence and capability. So, and if saying yes, they're justified means that you can maintain your esteem for this person,
well,
then
they can be justified, and it's sort of a sad, tragic justification, yeah. but they're justified.
Huh. See, I run into this kind of thing a lot when we're talking about, you know, supernatural beliefs, right? So, well, I had a personal experience where an angel came down and wrapped me on the forehead, right. you know, or told me where there was a gas station. you know, those guys
found my car keys.
right. I don't want to say that that is justification for belief in supernatural things just because it's a personal experience that I wasn't there and I can't prove that it's wrong. I don't want to look at that and say that person is justified. And I think all too often that is exactly the way that some skeptics jump.
Personal anecdote is like, yeah, they didn't arrive at their justification through scientific method.
But
it's this, you know, people have their lucky shirt.
But what are they doing,
justified in thinking it's lucky?
No. No, because I think to be justified in believing that you've got a lucky shirt, you need to be justified in believing there's such a thing as luck. To be justified in believing that an angel showed you where your car keys were, you need to be justified in believing there's such a thing as angels. And the fact that you found your car keys isn't.
Right.
I mean, if somebody says, I saw the ghost of my grandfather, I saw this, then I believe that they saw something. I'm not going to tell somebody something that you witnessed, I can say for sure didn't exist, because I base some of my thoughts on reality, on what I have actually seen. I may internally wonder about how clearly they saw what
you
they
and
saw.
I are,
they
you and I are mind. So on the same page today. I absolutely agree with that. You agree with the person that, yeah, something happened that you interpreted as an angel telling you where your car keys were.
Right.
No problem with that. That's different from saying
that you're justified.
That's a personal experience you had, and that is proof for you. I just reject this whole idea of something being proof for you. As a completely open-ended thing where anything goes. I think there can be proof for you of mundane things that are not in violation of established, you know, knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, if I saw what appeared to be the ghost of my grandfather, I would think there's got to be some other explanation for this, because I'm not willing to say, based on that, that therefore ghosts.
Well,
so, but whereas somebody else might be more likely to accept...
You know,
lower levels.
You know what it feels like when, you know what it feels like before you're shown that you're wrong about something? It feels like you're right.
Yes.
It feels like you're justified.
Yes. Feels like.
Yeah.
Feels like
you're justified.
Mm-hmm. If you feel like you're just justified, does that mean you're justified?
Everything that I think I know, yeah. I feel I'm justified.
But is that why you believe those things? Do you believe it because
no,
of the feeling,
or
do you enjoy
the
feeling?
Lead to my justification,
yeah,
so my sense of justification,
yeah,
leave me feeling justified.
Yeah, but my question is: do you believe the thing because of the feeling of justification, or do you believe it because of the reasons?
No,
and then you enjoy the feeling of justification
because I strive to avoid certainty and hold everything conditionally.
Sure, but even the things you conditionally accept, you think you're right about them, and you get to enjoy
feeling of justification.
Everybody
yeah.
wants to be right.
Everybody gets that.
I've long felt that a lot of the mimetic function of superstition or of magical ways of thinking is to get people that feeling of rightness.
Mm-hmm.
Without actually earning it,
right?
Everybody wants to be certain about
something.
It's the dark side of the force, right? Faster, simpler,
right.
easier.
I have said that with religion, even the village idiot can feel like Einstein, because he makes claims that no one can contradict.
Right.
And if they do, he can feel persecuted and still be right. You know,
right.
It's like, oh, what do you do?
Okay. Well, that was a very good question you raised there, Liam. Thank you very much, you and your northern British accent, whatever that sounds like. Name, if you write us back, Liam, name some like TV show from Britain that we might be able to watch over here that has people speaking in that accent so I can get a grasp of it.
Oh, yeah.
The Full Monty is set in Yorkshire. I don't know if that helps.
I did see that, but it was years ago.
We'll have to see it again.
And honestly, I never mind. I watched this show called Misfits, which is a British superhero show, which is awesome.
The range of accents in that is amazing.
But, they have a bunch of characters from different places, maybe one of them.
Christopher Eccleston has a northern accent. Do you remember in Doctor Who?
The latest of the new Doctor Who's, yeah.
I
don't think I can do Christopher Eccleston. Okay. Well, how about Dennis, you said that you had brought us some news.
Yes. In a moment, let me bring this up. A group of Satanists, this is a segue from your article here, are using the Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby decision to promote their own political initiatives, which are the polar opposite of the Christian craft store giant. The Supreme Court ruling allows Hobby Lobby to opt out of providing contraceptives for employees on the basis of their religious beliefs. Now, the Satanic Temple plans to cite the verdict as justification for the protection of their own beliefs. The Satanic Temple, a religious group based in New York but with followers across the country, is using the ruling to fight informed consent laws, which mandate that women considering abortions must be given state-approved literature about the procedure. Where they exist, informed consent laws differ by state, with some requiring women to watch videos or read instruction of varying amounts of time before scheduling their procedures. And so the Satanic Temple is somebody say, oh, well, with your religious beliefs, you can just opt out of that then.
This is yet another Satanist group?
Yeah.
No, this is the same one.
Yeah, same one.
That's the same one as those? Yeah. Okay.
I love how they're turning shit on its head. I love it.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
But how does that work? Does this suppose they win? Does that mean that Hobby Lobby needs to allow a woman, a female employee, to be able to get her full range of medical services as long as she identifies herself to them as a Satanist?
Are they
defending just their right to blow off Christians to try to get in their way?
So Hobby Lobby was based on the sincere religious beliefs of the owners of the company. So with this, I would imagine it's if the owner of the business says, I have these sincerely held satanic beliefs, therefore that's what I would expect if they're basing it off Hobby Lobby. Is that it wouldn't be about the individual.
So what Dennis was talking about, though, was not the Hobby Lobby situation, but rather the pamphlets.
The group announced the initiative last week and have provided a form letter intended to enable women to opt out of receiving the pamphlets distributed under the informed consent laws.
Okay.
They contend that the informed consent pamphlets run counter to their religious beliefs. Women are able to print off the opt-out form, fill it out, and hand it to their doctor. If the doctor still gives them the state-mandated forms in spite of the letter, the Satanic Temple says it will file a lawsuit on their behalf.
Okay, so it's not really...
Okay, so they're using Hobby Lobby to go after a different thing.
Right. Yes.
Because I don't
see... Not the same thing,
The problem with trying to take advantage of the Hobby Lobby decision, it would seem to me, is just that if you're a Satanist running a corporation, you could allow access to birth control.
No, they're going after
your...
the big picture here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, wacky. Naomi?
Okay. Well, while we are on the subject of court cases.
Okay.
This is a Supreme Court rejecting an appeal, so it wasn't an active ruling. So basically what happened is there was a police officer in Tulsa who was required to attend or send some of his subordinates to attend a Law Enforcement Appreciation Day held by the Islamic Society in Tulsa. So he's saying it's a violation of his First Amendment rights to require him to attend this, and for him to be disciplined or fired, then is a violation of his rights. where it was not a religious function. It was put on by a religious
organization.
Uh-huh.
So he claimed his First Amendment rights and right to equal protection were violated. A federal judge in Tulsa ruled for the city. Pulling up the next page. 10th Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the judge's ruling. So they say, first, the attendance order did not burden his religious rights because it did not require him to violate his personal religious beliefs by attending the event. Mm-hmm. He could have obeyed the order by ordering others to attend. And he has not contended on appeal that he had informed his supervisors that doing so would have violated his religious beliefs. Second, the order did not violate the Establishment Clause because no informed, reasonable observer would have perceived the order or the event as a government endorsement of Islam. Third, the order did not burden Field's right of association because it did not interfere with his right to decide what organizations to join as a member. Fourth, Field's equal protection claim duplicates his free exercise claim and fails for the same reason. So he appealed that to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, nah.
So he lost.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. What bothers me about this whole thing is that I don't know if this is where the guy with the making the complaint was coming from, but boy, I don't want to go to Christian sponsored events because I just don't believe any claim that this Christian organization that is sponsoring this non-religious event is not going to take advantage of that to proselytize at me while I'm there. I have almost never seen a religious organization fail to use opportunities like that to proselytize. So the idea that a reasonable person would not conclude that the event is going to be, pressure you to have some particular religious views, I don't agree with that.
I don't know.
I think I'm a reasonable person.
Putting that aside, because I'm not going to touch that one, the fact that this was I think it said that he was a captain in the police department. So this was he still serves as a captain. So he got suspended, but he didn't get fired. It was a Law Enforcement Appreciation Day held by the Islamic Society.
Law Enforcement Appreciation
Day. And as a police officer, there are certain relationships with the community that you're going to be expected to maintain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's going to require contact with groups that you might not otherwise choose to affiliate with.
Okay. Well, that is a... that is a different thing than me as a private citizen being required to go to such a thing.
Right.
Right.
That's a good point.
And if he had the option...
But I'm not letting you off that easy. You're implying that I'm not a reasonable person?
Wait.
Wasn't that just reasonable what I said?
Is it worse since you're a state employee having to go to this?
No, her point is... If, let's say you're a state employee where your job doesn't involve necessarily having to hobnob with people from different cultures, right? And then they required you to go to it. Because Naomi's bringing up the fact that cops have to, talk to the Islamic community,
sure,
right?
Sure.
They have to. It's part of their job. But if it's not part of your job to do that, then do my objections then hold sway.
And also the fact that he had the option of sending other people, it's not hard to say, hey, would anybody here like to go to this or at least not have a problem going?
He could have sent someone else?
He could have sent a subordinate.
Oh,
yeah.
And he's claiming that as well is...
Well, okay, but let's say I'm not a cop, but I'm an accountant. And they say, go attend this thing put on by this religious organization. My big question is, are they not going to use this to pressure me, on the religion angle? And I don't care whether it's me. I don't care whether they say, well, you can send your secretary instead. I don't want to send my secretary someplace where they're going to get pressured religiously, on orders from the employer.
Right.
It's tricky.
Of course, then again, usually the question is, will there be food?
But wait a minute. Was the fact that the guy's a cop was raised as one of the reasons why he lost?
It's not specified in the article, but it's something that I thought of as making
Disagree. Yeah. I think I disagree with the reasons given, because I think, and you know, I think we culturally, our culture has this blind spot when it comes to the abuses perpetrated by religion.
Right.
Mild abuses, right? Using their position of undeserved respect to
privilege, I think is the word.
Privilege can be a word for that, right? You taking advantage of that to pressure other people to see things their way.
Yeah, well, but of course they are the people with the auditoriums or
Well, and I'm going to come at it from the other side, which is that this was presented as entirely a secular event. These were not worship services.
Yeah,
this was a secular event. So going into it saying, well, I assume that they will behave this way and therefore I don't want to go, puts you in really, really shaky ground.
Yeah.
But that just
means you're assuming guilt before.
If you go and you get proselytized to, then you have grounds for a complaint of you put me into this hostile work environment.
All right. All right. That's a good point.
Yeah, you can't base it on on past experience, because, well, that would be back to, well, are you justified in believing this based
on... Oh, good grief.
What has happened in the past. Yeah. Mm. It's tough.
Let me just mention that there were some questions I had about news stories that we might or might not have on tap during the show. Did anybody happen to look up the apparently religious fundamentalist shooter that went nuts in downtown Austin last week?
I can look it up right now. Last week.
There wasn't much when I looked this morning. As far as I can tell, the only evidence that this guy was a religious nut is he had a religious nut organization book in his car. And then they've distributed these pictures, because the media loves to be sensational. They distributed all these pictures of this guy wearing his Renaissance garb from when he went to a Renaissance festival, which, you know, makes him look like a real lunatic.
Yeah, well.
And here he is in his Spider-Man costume.
Here he is in Halloween dressed as Hitler.
I will just say, in my experience, the Renaissance fairs are not big hotbeds of right-wing Christian conservatism.
No.
Okay, so I've got a lot here talking about what they believe to be the case.
Yeah.
He left a note.
Does his note say something?
I'm looking into that. But they're talking about him being affiliated with like some of the Christian identity groups where the politics are as big a part of that as.
Well, what does affiliated mean, though? He had a book, or does it mean they've got him on the membership rolls?
Let's see.
Okay.
Yep. So they believe he associated himself with the Phineas priesthood. They found a copy of Vigilantes of Christendom.
There we go.
A book linked to the priesthood in the rental van he used. Inside of the book was a handwritten note that, according to the police chief, discusses his rank as a priest in his fight against anti-God people.
Okay.
So if that was in fact his note.
It's the anti-God people thing that, you know, I think us atheists need to just take a warning from. There are people out there who are religious fundamentalists to the point of violence.
Oh, yeah.
So
fortunately for us, though, they tend to focus on, I think they're more looking at people they think should be allied with them who aren't, rather than random people necessarily who specifically. So, for instance, the government is evil, the government is ungodly because they're doing blah, 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 as opposed to, hey, that person over there, I don't think they ever go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, you never know. So there's not a lot more else to say about this. Maybe by next episode, more will have come out. Which also brings me to the question of this other thing I saw in the media lately. The latest comment by the Pope that has got everybody reacting. He said something to the effect of religious fundamentalists are no better than ISIS.
Nice of him to admit that.
Well,
being a fundamentalist himself.
Well, obviously, in making that statement, he's claiming that he's not.
He's not, right.
But of course,
we know better.
Well, certainly his organization has in the past held views and actively promoted views that are essentially identical with practically everything that modern-day right-wing fundamentalists are about. So if that's not true of the Pope or of his cult now, it used to be, and raises the question of how come it's not the same now, if supposedly you, Mr. Pope, are a representative of some objectively real higher standard of right and wrong.
Right. That does not change.
Right. Which, and my first question when I heard this was, whatever happened to, well, who am I to judge? Right? He was happy to say, who am I to judge, to kind of deflect questions about whether his cult is still going after gay people. Right?
Yep.
But there again, you know, not too long ago, Mr. Pope, your organization was all anti-gay, everything, right? So they were judging then. How come you're not letting yourself judge when it's a thing your organization used to be against, and now you don't want to be seen as against that, but you're happy to judge when there's a competing view on religion that you want to defeat? And it all looks to me like what's really going on here is marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a cuddly, fuzzy Pope. And then behind closed doors, he can go back to being, you know,
now,
Pope.
Have they successfully weathered the storm?
Which storm is that? The
molestation?
Child rape storm?
Yeah, child rape storm.
As far as I know, it's still
it
going on.
It used to be. I was hearing stories about that, you know, every week. Now, not so much.
Well, it could be that for the moment they've been frightened into keeping a lid on all that stuff.
Well, and media it could coverage be, goes in cycles.
It could be that the media's just moved on.
Yeah.
Or it could be that we've actually found all the child molesting priests,
right.
And they're all out of the job now.
Well,
it is certainly not the case. It is certainly not the case that at least this Pope has changed the way the Catholic Church operates and is now handing these people over to authorities. Because
no,
the last time it came
that.
Up, he just fired the guys.
Yep.
So slightly better than before, actually firing them instead of moving them to another church. But without alerting the authorities.
Right.
So you got enough evidence to fire them, not enough evidence to actually tell the cops that, hey, these are people you might want to be taking a look at. Once again, those are moves. Those are PR moves.
Right.
Those are not moves driven by some objective standard of right and wrong, which you represent. At least not unless that's always the way the church is operated, which it isn't. All right, there. I just wanted to bring up those two news stories that we weren't going to cover. So, I got a letter.
Yay!
Shall I?
A. Sorry.
This is from Canada, so like we can do
that. Right.
We can do A.
Got a news story.
Well, you know how you spell the name of the country, right? C A N A.
B A. It's like C A N A. I was just listening to your latest episode. This is Christian in Calgary. I was just like listening to your latest episode where you spoke about the Sikh who couldn't like enter command school for the U.S. Army because they would require him to like cut his hair and beard, which is like against his religion.
Yeah.
Right. I'm with you on that religion is silly and what really ought to happen is that like everybody should just give it all up, eh? However, what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nothing.
Proceed.
I think that accommodation should be like made for people's religions in professional and academic spaces. I guess I don't know if that means that he is okay with accommodations not being made in the U.S. Army, but he thinks they should be made in professional and academic spaces. Is the Army a professional or academic? It's not an academic space. Is it a professional space? I'm not sure what he's saying. Let's move on.
Okay, that's nice and specific.
Without the accent. A number of years ago, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police had a debate about this very same subject. Sikhs wanted to be in the RCMP,
right.
But the dress uniform involves a particular hat that is just incompatible with a turban.
Right.
And we did cover this story before.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court, Canadian Supreme Court, I assume, found that denying Sikhs the right to adorn themselves as their religion requires constitutes a violation of their charter rights, as no Canadians may be discriminated against. Excuse me, I'm burping a little bit. On the basis of their religion. So, the RCMP was required to allow Sikhs to maintain their beards and wear turbans instead of the uniform hat. The thing about religious accommodations like these is that Christians don't really have any special requirements.
Is there kind of built in?
So given that both America and Canada are majority Christian, the rules of uniforms and such suit them just fine. This means that denying religious minorities the right to fully participate in public life is the same thing as upholding Christian supremacy, because the Christian was designed by Christians with Christians in mind.
What is he saying?
He's saying that that Christianity is just so pervasive in our culture. We already, by default, wear uniforms and clothing that accommodates the needs of Christians.
Right.
I'm not 100% certain that I agree with this. To me, what a Christian wants is to, like, wear a big old cross or religious message T-shirts and things, right? There's plenty of things may not be demanded by their religion. It may be true that there aren't any things that are demanded by their religion, but certainly things they would very much like to wear that are not standard.
Well, let's look at it, flipping it around a little bit. So let's say that all of the uniforms and everything had been designed by Orthodox Jews, because that's who's in charge in this society. So, you know, so you've got the mandatory head coverings, and you've got, you know, sleeve lengths and things like that, and women, if they participate in whatever thing we're talking about, have their hair all covered and everything, and that's just normal for society. That's what uniforms look like. That's what professional dress codes look like. Somebody comes along and says, you know, and their religion requires that they not have their head covered for whatever reason, and now they need a special accommodation. And people go, wow, those weird, like, bareheaded people asking for special accommodations when, you know, it's just normal to have your head covered, and we don't have any funky things that people would care about. It's so...
Yeah, it's pervasive.
It's in some ways kind of arbitrary.
Yeah.
Because it's just that much of what we're used to. Like, is the Mountie hat really that big a deal?
Apparently it was a big enough deal that they didn't want to let the Sikhs wear the turban instead.
Yeah.
It creates the right silhouette.
Even if the big deal is only that it's the tradition, right? You know, when there's traditions involved, people make up all kinds of ridiculous justifications for the tradition after the fact. But the argument that Christian is making, that the society – the Christians don't have any special dress codes, so the society that doesn't prohibit the things they would want to wear is unfairly in their favor, smacks of the argument that – teaching science in schools favors, you know, atheists and secular humanists, right? That somehow it's unfair, because there happens to be a group that that is okay with the thing that's being taught,
right,
that means it's an unfair advantage for that group. No, I think that each group has the power to decide what their special requirements are going to be. And if their special requirements are ludicrous, then they're the ones that are going to not fit. And that's their choice, I think. It is not that schools are going out of their way to accommodate atheism. It's that their job is to teach actual science, and atheism happens to not conflict with that.
Right.
I don't think really that those are parallel, though, that teaching actual science in school, there's a real case to be made there separate of any kind of group identity in terms of actual facts on the ground, whereas what kind of hat the Mounties wear.
Do you think right. that the kind of hat the Mounties wear is somehow dictated by Christian demands?
Not dictated specifically by Christian demands, but there's no the justification for the specific Mountie hat is not the same as the justification for teaching evolution in schools. And if other groups had been in the Mounties from the beginning, that probably would not have been the hat.
Well, if other groups had been in charge of deciding what the curriculum was going to be in schools, there would probably not be science. You know, it's the Sikhs that have a special hat requirement, right? Christians don't have a special hat requirement. The Mounties happen to wear this hat. Along comes a group that has a demand on its members that they wear some other hat. They are the ones bringing a problem to the table. It's not that the Mounties are especially engineered to accommodate Christians and not Sikhs.
They weren't specially engineered to accommodate Christians, but the fact that it was probably all Christians when it started meant that there was no input or allowance for any other.
I don't think. Right. How does that matter? I mean, does that mean we don't know what religious requirements? Religious taboos and requirements could emerge from any religion that either isn't popular now or present now or hasn't even been conceived
sure,
of
sure.
now. Does that mean everything has to be set up so that they're – like we cannot have uniforms because we don't know that there won't be a religion 10 years from now that requires its members to wear special boots? You can't do that. You make you have an organization. If it needs to have some uniform dress code, you have that. And then if some organization has its special needs that it has to accommodate, it's not that their absence at the beginning where they didn't get to vote on the kind of boots is somehow unfair. They're the ones making waves.
And I think looking at it from a broad perspective, the benefit of making sure that minority communities feel included in basic civic life, such as police forces, outweighs whatever harm might come from letting some people wear turbans instead of hats.
I hope you aren't getting the impression that I'm arguing against the ruling by Canada's Supreme Court. I'm arguing specifically against this argument brought up by Christian from Calgary. I think that this whole idea that if the organization happens to not cause trouble, dress code problems for Christians, but does happen to cause dress code problems for Sikhs, that it's because of some kind of bias inherent in the original dress code. I think that's nonsense, and that was the analogy I was trying to make between science education and secular humanism, where religious people are always screaming, "That's religious unfairness because you're teaching a thing that we don't agree with, right. but another group does."
You're favoring one over the other.
You're wearing garments that we don't agree with, but another group does. It's this. I look at those things. I think it's the same damn thing. Now, I I'm okay with then accommodating those people, mm-hmm. right? I just don't think that there is some underlying Christian dominance issue here. If it was the case,
we have to research who came up with the uniform.
If it was the case that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police had great big crucifixes right. all over them, right, and their colors were dictated by some Bible verse or something, right? If you could actually find things where Christianity imposed itself on the uniforms, then I'd say, yeah, you've got an issue where there's an existing unfairness. I don't think that's the case here.
Yeah. I guess I would not make it necessarily religion specific, but just generally that things like dress codes, which are very, very culture bound and mm-hmm. ultimately kind of arbitrary,
totally.
You get the kind of fish not being aware of water sort of thing. So you have, well, this is just how things are. You're the weird one. Or basically, you know, it's the same when people talk about ethnic identity in the U.S. It's like, no. I, as a white person, don't have any kind of racial identity. It's you other people that are bringing that to the table. So to the sense that no cultural phenomenon is going to be culturally neutral. It's not like it didn't pop up by itself and it only exists from a particular cultural history.
Okay. Well, I'm willing to entertain the notion that is where my thinking is coming from. I do not at this time see it. I'm not gonna. We get these news stories of here's a little town and their town's seal has Jesus on a cross on it, and somebody raises a stink and says, "No, you got to take that off." Well, that is a clear case where that one where you've got the government presenting itself under a specific religion's banner. But I don't know where I'm willing to accept that maybe there's somewhere in the Bible that says what kind of boots and helmets and uniforms the Royal Canadian Mounted Police should wear, but I don't think there is such a thing.
Right, and I'm not making an argument at that level of specificity for I'm just sort of I think Christian was
making
here,
that argument.
Right. I think he's very much on the right track. I think the sort of the structure of his argument is a really, really good argument. The specifics in this case don't necessarily hold up, but looking at it in the sense of we have created things that work for us, the dominant culture, and we accept them as how things are.
No.
And therefore that puts other minority groups in this awkward position where we just have clothes, they have costume kind of thing.
And they're going to have to be careful, because when the Pastafarians get involved, colanders on your head, that's going to rob them of a certain amount of respectability, I think.
Wasn't there a teenager who actually fought to be able to take a driver's license picture of the colander?
Yes, and he won.
Yeah.
He won.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but see, that someday there's going to be some denomination of Christian who is obligated by his little cult to wear a giant crucifix dangling around his neck, right? And he's going to try to join the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and they're going to tell him no. I disagree. Yeah, we got a uniform. I just don't see how in this particular case there's something about the Royal Canadian Mounted Police's uniforms that are specifically Christian as opposed to Sikh or some other kind of religion.
Perhaps we should put that question up to our listeners.
I would be willing. Sure. I'd be willing to back down if somebody could show me something from the history of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police that shows that there's a specific symbology that got worked into their uniforms because of this religious justification. Sure.
The thing is, if there wasn't a religious symbology in their uniforms before.
Yeah.
With the Sikhs, there is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is weird.
And I'm going to make this strange analogy to ownership of lands in the Middle East.
Oh, what? Boy.
Right?
Oh. Here, take because this can of worms.
Because sure, there was a point in history where the Royal Canadian Mounted Police uniforms got designed, right? And then there was a point in history where Israel owned this chunk of land, right? And what I see in both cases here is somehow that's now magically important, that that is the way it has to keep on being, right?
Yeah.
That because – and now my analogy has fallen apart as I've gotten a couple steps into it. I see it doesn't really connect up, but let me finish my sentence at least. I'll turn aside from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and go to the freaking Sikhs. At some point, some idiot decided that all those people have to wear a turban.
Yeah, there you go.
The hell? You know, before that, you go back in the history of your organization, you're going to find it's not true. This is the case with drawn pictures of Muhammad. You can go back in history before the proclamation that you're not allowed to draw pictures of Muhammad anymore and find freaking pictures of Muhammad in Muslim art.
Mm-hmm.
This, all this stuff is ultimately completely stupid and made up. That bugs me.
Okay.
Do you have more news, Dennis, or should we go back to Naomi?
I do have, I believe, a piece of news, unless Naomi's already got it.
Well,
okay.
Compare notes.
It deals with a corpse?
No,
the
corpse, I have
no corpse in the attic or
yeah.
upstairs. Yeah,
yeah. Canadian.
Oh, great.
Family lived with a corpse in their upstairs bedroom.
You
got to
do it as
a
Canadian.
Oh, Canadian family. Hey, lived in. No, I'm no good at that.
Please don't
with
do
a
that.
Corpse in their upstairs bedroom for 6 months because they believed the deceased man would be resurrected if they prayed. But the body was discovered when the family was evicted for not paying the mortgage. So it could have been up there for years
wow.
if they just had more money.
Wow.
Somebody else was praying that they'd, like, raise the rent. Eh?
Oh. So, pled guilty to failing to notify police that her husband had died, an offense under the Provincial Coroner's Act, and was sentenced on Monday to probation and counseling. Her lawyer
counseling is good.
Hoyters on Tuesday. Yeah, wow. So. Oh. He'll come back to life. We just got to wait it out.
This isn't the first one of these.
Don't these people
read the news and encounter the
don't
other stories?
Don't they watch Monty Python?
This happens all the time. I wonder how many corpses there are in attics around the country.
Not watching Monty Python leads to having a room upstairs full of different aged milkmen.
Yes.
Trapped, if everybody remembers that skit. Okay. Well, let's talk about it.
So, yeah, kooky fundamentalists.
Rotting Christians kept around for 6 months.
Yeah.
How does it say how they ever found out?
Presumably
it smelled.
They'd be evicted.
Yeah, somebody came in and was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And their evil landlord got upset because they just had a dead body in
their
house.
I bet they lost their security deposit.
Yes. There, one of the quotes here, there clearly was an over-exuberance of one's faith, he added. An over-exuberance of one's faith. Just as Jesus raised Lazarus after the fourth day, so too did she believe God would resurrect her husband in due time.
So, okay, I have a...
Wow.
I was going to say, I have a big problem with that. I have several, but there's one that's really... All of the billions and billions of people who have died... And not been brought back, and you think your husband, is going to be the one? Your prayers are so much more special than all the prayers of everybody else who's come before you, who has prayed so hard for somebody to come back.
And atheists are the arrogant ones.
She was so ignorant; she was too ignorant or stupid to understand that he wasn't coming back. So was she justified? No. Now, in this case, there's a law on the books. Which said she wasn't justified legally.
Right.
Right.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Therefore, your justifications are irrelevant.
But I don't think that Liam was asking about legalities.
I don't
because there is no law that says you have to believe in evolution.
Wow.
Yeah, what makes you I have a hard time with that one.
Yeah.
Believing that people can come back from the dead, if that's your basic premise,
let's do a little sharing. I want you all to cast your mind back to when you were a stupid little kid.
Right.
Okay? and all the stupid things you believed at one point or another when you were a stupid little kid. And I am now hoping that I'm not the only one in this room who has such stories.
No, I was always right.
But I'll start, okay? A friend of mine and I convinced ourselves, I don't know how old I was, can't have been more than like 13 maybe, mm-hmm. convinced ourselves that there were alien spaceships landing in like the fields behind his house. And we would tromp around back there and find just things you would find in a field where animals were living in that we pointed at as evidence
right.
to support our stupid belief. Okay. So I think my answer to your question is people can believe that because sometimes they don't grow up. It's possible for human beings to believe stuff like that on no real justification at all. And some people have just not gotten to the point where they learned the difference. Mm-hmm. Dennis, when you were a little kid, name a stupid thing that you believed.
Oh, gosh.
Should I come back to you?
No, I got a later one.
Later?
Yeah.
How much later? Were you in college?
Yeah.
Damn.
I took a course in laser holography. And I said, gosh, it's too bad we'll never be able to print holograms. 2 years later, my wallet was full of laser holograms, printed laser holograms on every credit card. You know, so it's like
that doesn't stack up with my belief.
No,
that
it doesn't.
There were little aliens running around behind this guy's house.
When I was like 17, 18, I thought my band was really good.
Well, maybe your band was really good. You gonna bring us a recording?
Probably 95% of the reaction that we got when we got a reaction was, "Wow, your music's really good, but your singer really sucks." I was not the singer, by the way.
Oh, good.
But it took me a long time to really be able to hear that myself. And now I listen to old stuff and I cringe.
Okay.
Fortunately, I know she's not going to be listening to this.
So that's why these people who do shit like this, they're just wrapped up in these childish fantasies that of the kind that like, you guys are both – you gave bad examples compared to mine.
That's all I've got. I'm sorry.
You had to...
I think I went back.
I mean, we did hypnotism and all sorts of weird stuff.
Ever believe
told
you
stories to
ever
each
believe
other.
You might have psychic powers? Ever hear tell no. ghost stories and get all creeped out when you were a little kid?
Well, I didn't believe them.
Yeah, I didn't believe them.
Okay,
I entertained them, but I didn't believe them.
I wasn't talking about belief. I was just talking about getting creeped out.
Oh yeah, I can do that.
Well, anyway. That was Dennis's news, right?
Yeah.
Let me check the time. How much show we got?
No, just
not a lot.
His wife, Kayleen Wall, left him in bed and sealed up the bedroom in their Hamilton, Ontario home to prevent the odor of decomposition from disturbing the busy household, which included five of the couple's six children, as well as other adults living in the home. I'm going, wow.
Is a door really enough for a 6-month-old corpse? Well, probably by the time you get to 6 months, but the first month is going to be pretty.
It's really rank.
Does it say whether everybody else in the home was in on it?
I have to assume
they were. Or she lied
to
them and said, no, he's...
He just went
away? No, this is where we just store our rotting meat.
He's busy.
He's busy, and just don't go into the bedroom while you're cleaning. Ever.
Oh, boy. So, anyway.
Wow. That's horrible. Naomi?
So I have a fun one. So this is a book that looks like it would be really, really interesting, and I will never be able to read it. Huh. Never, ever, ever.
Why?
So this is a book that was published by the woman who is married to the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Yeah.
It is an annotated collection of a sampling of the hate mail that they have received over the past few years. And they said it's not trolling, it's not anonymous comments. They often include a return address or email, so these are people who are perfectly happy to be associated with what they're saying. The name of the book, I do like the name of the book, To the Far Right Christian Hater. You can be a good speller or a hater, but you can't be both. Official hate mail threats and criticism from the archives of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
That's the title?
That's the title.
That's quite a title.
Yeah. But
says what it needs to say.
But it sounds really fascinating to be able to get into
it. And why could you never read it?
because then I'd have to read all those horrible things that they said. Yeah. I mean, the person who wrote this article was saying, as I read the book curled up on my couch, my wife kept asking if I was okay. My face mm-hmm. was fixed in an expression of horror and disbelief as I read the rage, hate, and cruelty cataloged on every page. Bonnie has uncovered a shocking reality. Self-professed Christians deny the fundamental humanity of other people they don't even know.
Right.
Sure.
So
they
deny the fundamental humanity of everybody, even themselves.
Yep. So this is the writer of this refuses to actually quote from the book, but he does summarize it a little bit.
Wow.
And here, I will spare you, dear reader, actual excerpts from the book. Instead, I will summarize almost every letter. The MRFF hates America. Weinstein is a dirty Jew who deserves to be raped / murdered / skull fucked. Some truly awful sexual filth directed at Bonnie. Fuck, shit, fuck, cocksucker, and Jesus is Lord.
Right. Okay. I'm going to cut and paste that in every...
And apparently she worked with an artist to create some fun illustrations to give the book structure.
Oh.
And the letters get worse toward the end of the book.
Jeez. Jesus is Lord. Love that.
Is there any discussion to have about this? I mean, we were aware that this kind of thing goes on.
What can you say other than typical?
Yeah. I mean, the idea that this is a shocking truth is kind of shocking.
Do we have internet apologists say today?
I don't think I could.
We don't have a thing? Okay.
Yeah, we'll skip it. I didn't really know what
that's
to
Russell's.
Look for.
It's Russell's. Yeah, it's Russell's. We don't have to keep try to Russell's. Do that. I'm gonna just throw out, since I've been throwing out news stories that we didn't bring. NASA has announced they've got a plan, an actual plan for a program to put guys on Mars.
It's they actually, have a plan for getting them back?
Yeah, I guess.
I guess?
Why wouldn't they?
Getting them there.
I didn't read that deep.
I could see getting them there being pretty easy, but getting them back being really hard.
Did you see this news story? They're testing the Orion capsule like now-ish, right? Either they did it yesterday or they're doing it today or tomorrow or something like that, right? They're launching the thing with all kinds of instrumentation on board. That's That's the thing they plan to send people to Mars in.
Right.
I would imagine some kind of lander and return vehicle thing. Why would they not?
Well, it's just the maybe the fraction of a gravity on Mars is enough to justify a lander and a return and stuff.
Or maybe or maybe it's not a return. I'm okay with it being a colonization effort. I'm totally okay with that, assuming it's volunteers, right? I wouldn't be sending. I wouldn't be sending convicts.
Right. The new Australia.
But
it's like you have to have a whole nother rocket on Mars to get them out of that gravity well.
Right.
Yeah.
But if
they think they can do it, then I'll trust them because they did it on the moon, so.
Yeah. That was in the news. I thought that was cool.
That is neat.
On a recent episode, this is Susan from North Carolina. On a recent episode, Russell mentioned Dale McGowan's Parenting Beyond Belief as a resource for parents. While I liked that book, I'd like to recommend a different one of Dale McGowan's books for anyone looking for a more practical guide to parenting. Raising Freethinkers, A Practical Guide for Parenting Beyond Belief. The Parenting Beyond Belief book is a collection of essays written by atheist parents, whereas the Raising Freethinkers book offers more practical advice. Personally, I liked both books, but I found the Raising Freethinkers book more helpful. I also wanted to express how much I enjoy the intros and closings that Dennis writes.
Yay.
I'm always impressed with the creativity he brings to them. Thank you, Dennis. Keep it up.
I shall endeavor.
Thank you all for the show. It's very thought-provoking and entertaining. Well, you're welcome, Susan.
Cool.
It's our pleasure. Dennis, do you have more news?
Not news. I want to put in a plug for a short film called Wanderers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Google that and...
The Wanderers.
The Wanderers. A little short film about the planets of our solar system. very, very cool.
Well, it's not about the planets of our solar system.
No.
It's about space exploration.
Right.
And
with a voiceover by
you're gonna promote the Wanderers thing, but you know, ask difficult, troubling questions about NASA's Mars plans.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. We have 5 minutes.
So my phone is about to die, so I'm not going to pull up the specific articles, but
right.
It's December, so it's that time of year again, apparently, for the American Atheist holiday billboards.
Oh,
those are going
the war
up
on Christmas.
And what was hilarious was finding the article about it written by the Washington Post, U.S. publication, and the article about it written by the Daily Telegraph, U.K. publication.
Oh, yeah?
pretty different subtle attitude.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But apparently the billboard this year is a young girl writing a note like she's that says, "Dear Santa, for Christmas, I want to stay home from church."
Is that American Atheist?
Mm-hmm.
That one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm too old for fairy tales. And there was...
A little more edgy.
Yeah. And there was... I don't remember... Jackson? Possibly? I have several articles where people didn't allow stuff, so I might be getting the places mixed up. But there was one city where no company would sell them the billboard space because they were worried about the... But they targeted the South. They've got Kentucky, Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah. Arkansas. They said they wanted to go for places where people might be less comfortable being out as atheists.
Yeah.
So this was more outreach, you're not alone kind of thing, as opposed to...
There's a big...
an edgier message, but, you know, it dovetails right into the idea that the very existence of atheists suggests to theists that, someone thinks we're delusional. Yeah.
And I've seen much harsher billboards here in Texas from a religious angle.
Sure. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but it seems like in the last week or two, there have been a few more of these kind of undermining atheism articles.
Uh-huh.
Reza Aslan posted this big thing about how, you know, the four horsemen of atheism are not really atheists, but anti-theists.
I saw
as
that,
if,
rolled my eyes,
as
and read it.
If those things are incompatible.
Right. You'd think they'd be the same.
And another one, I didn't notice who wrote it, but somebody going after atheism nowadays in general and kind of just like denigrating it all as so hostile and forceful and complaining. As if to be a legitimate mode of thinking, right, or a legitimate viewpoint, you had to not be complaining about anything. It's like when did Christianity stop complaining about things it doesn't like?
Good grief!
How does
when did it lose its persecution complex?
How does the fact that there are atheists who are outspoken about stuff that, you know, we see in our culture around us, how is that even a negative? It's our freaking job. We'll stop complaining when there aren't things to complain about.
Right?
We're happy to. So I don't know, and once again, I'll just say, and I think we there's of course big problem in atheism right now. It seems to have simmered down a bit, which is the misogynist atheist camp screaming about everything. It's still out there, but either they are simmering down, or else I've defriended enough of them that I'm just not seeing them on Facebook anymore. Either of those things could be true.
Right.
But also, while I agree with criticisms of things that Harris has said and Dawkins has said, and they have said some really stupid things, I'm very worried about a pervasive, eaten our own kind of attitude that's going on within atheism, where it's turned into, instead of atheists talking about our issues, which is, you know, what the depredations of religion in our culture, it's turned into this finger pointing exercise in which big name atheists can we hate the most. I'm not trying to squelch criticism of what those people say. I don't think we should have icons who are, you know, somehow inviolate figures that you can't criticize. I just think that criticism should be focused on those issues and not turn into a big personality attack. I see way too much of this. I mean, yeah. I'm very mad at Sam Harris about a couple of things.
Yeah.
But I don't discount everything useful that he said about atheism because of that.
Right.
I just say, oh, well, Sam Harris said that. I think he's wrong, and here's why.
Right.
So, going into the Christmas season, I just thought I'd give everybody an uplifting message of how awesome the whole atheism thing is right now.
I have a lot of mixed reactions to all of that, but that's not necessarily something that can be addressed in the negative 1 minute.
I'm sorry. Well, we will have you on again, and we'll try to do a whole bit about just how horrible certain atheists are that you hate.
That was not my intent.
I'll try. No, to be fair, I'll try to also hate some atheists.
If you refriend some of the misogynist guys, then you've got a list.
Yeah. I can go look at the list of people I have defriended. all right. So, Dennis, ready to take us out?
I am.
Off you go.
Well, now that we have all our stuff back, that was our show, and we hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with another episode in 2 weeks on December the 17th. Until then, we leave you with I Am the Satellite by Brian Stieksma. And hurt, and that you don't need the people, cause you've got your church. You gotta take your head out of the sky, because there ain't nothing there but the satellite.